Good morning. Seems like it's been a long time since I stood here. As always, it's good to be here with you. And as always, I thank Pastor Jeff for allowing me to stand before you today. And I ask right now that you bow your head for a quick word of prayer. Dear God, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I pray for this word and the souls that this word will touch on this morning. Lord, I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen. I promise you all that there is a word from the Lord on this morning. And as Hoto read, it's coming from the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. You see, what I got from this, there are so many things that we devote time to make sure that things go off without a hitch. In this parable, Jesus used a wedding. Weddings. Everyone loves to receive an invitation to a wedding. But for those who have not been through the process, there is a whole lot that is involved. You see, first you get engaged. Then you tell those close to you all about your engagement. Then you have to announce your engagement to everyone that you found someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with. But one of the most important decisions that the couple will have to make as they plan that wedding is picking a wedding date. Not only will it be the first question most people will ask once they find out that you're getting married, but you'd be surprised how difficult it will be to make any kind of progress on your plans for that wedding without knowing the date and the time of that special celebration. Some may contact a wedding planner. Some may actually go out and purchase a book, a planner. I'm surprised it's a lot out there. These books, they give the couple instructions on how to plan for a successful wedding. Another major step is choosing who you will invite. You have to invite the attendees, but you also have to pick who will be in your wedding party. With just these steps that I named, you get my drift that a lot is required. There's a lot of preparation that goes into making sure that these two that are getting married are in total control of this special day and how it will go. The way that I look at things, you see, may be a lot different than the way most of you look at things. So regarding this text, it's my understanding regarding this that first there was a bridegroom, then there were 10 bridesmaids. We understand that there was a lamp, then there had to be oil for the lamp. Well, the first thing that I took from it was the groom had to represent Jesus. The bridesmaids represents the church, all of us, and the state right now that we're all in. As you can tell, I'm giving you, I guess you can call it my cliff notes. It's like ahead of time. So as we keep moving, I don't want you to have to look back on what all of the, I guess, symbols represent. So the lamp represents us. That's our heart. You see, everybody has a heart. I think the oil is the Holy Spirit. You see, the oil, we fill the lamp so that light can shine bright. but not here in with Jesus in this text. You see, he chooses to use a wedding scene as the parable. He doesn't even mention that there is a bride, only a bridegroom. At most weddings, a lot of fuss is made over the bride and the groom, but mostly the bride. We don't pay too much attention to those who are in attendance at the ceremony. You see, right now, I want you to think about every element that here that he's using. What I came to see is that when Jesus speaks in parables, he's speaking in a language that we all understand. It's elementary language. It's common language. But it's something that we all understand. You see, we as Christians need to be able to explain to others who Jesus is in common language. We don't need to use all the big theological terms that I'm learning in school, because you probably won't get that from me in a conversation. But you will get the common elementary language. Sometimes you have to go out to tell people who Jesus is based on the experiences that you've had, what you've done in life, and how your life has been affected. We understand that there is 10 bridesmaids, and they were separated into two groups, one wise and one foolish. Remember earlier I said that the bridesmaids represented the church. So now I say that I want you all to ask yourself, which group do you actually fall into? Right now, it may be hard to figure it out because I haven't begun to explain what makes one foolish and what makes the other one wise. You see, now all of them carried lamps when we look at the scripture, but only 5 were prepared by having the extra oil needed for the lamps. They all looked alike. They were all waiting on the bridegroom. And at the midnight, a call came. The bridegroom is coming. As a result, they panicked. A lot of chaos broke out. But now the foolish realize they didn't have their lamps prepared and ready to go to see the bridegroom. So at this point, they asked the wise, "Can I borrow some of your oil?" And their response was, "Nope, can't have any. If I give it to you, I won't have enough for myself. So you need to go down to Schnucks and buy some more oil just so that you can have what I have." They left and they went. I'll be honest with you. At first, this text was wrestling with my spirit, and I even mentioned it to Pastor Jeff, because the first thing that I thought was the 5 wise seemed selfish to me. And I questioned, and I posed it to him, why didn't they share just a little bit of that oil that they had? If they would have shared, the first thing I thought when I read the text was, if they shared, then everyone's light could have shined bright. But as I began to study, I understood that the oil that they had could not be shared. You see, I can't share my salvation with you. I can't share what God has given me with you. I can only show you what God has done for me, and I can only show you how I think my salvation will ultimately end. And then it was a time and place for this oil that they carried, and it just happens overnight that this bridegroom came, but these foolish, this oil that they had, It was something that they had to acquire over time. And it's basically, it matures over time, just like wine. They said wine matures. Whiskey, whatever, I don't know. But they say this stuff, the longer it sits, the better it tastes. That's just like the oil that these wise bridesmaids had. It was something that they had acquired over time. So now the five foolish had to go out and attempt to get the oil. But it did not mention that they finally got the oil. But it also doesn't mention that they came back. I'm sorry, it doesn't say that when the time that they came back, that they were actually able to get in eventually. You see, it does say in the scripture that they said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But they couldn't get in that time. So again, I had to ask myself, were they able to get in eventually? How much more time did they have to go back and let that oil mature before that next time? Well, why couldn't they have allowed them to go in when they were waiting just like the wise? They couldn't just go into the celebration. They couldn't gain entry because they were not prepared at that time. Just as the example I gave you earlier for a wedding. A wedding requires advanced planning, preparation. If you have the tools available, I guarantee you it will be a successful celebration. You have to put in the time and the effort into making it successful. All I'm going to say right now is that I encourage you all to take time out of your day, each day, to review what is laid out in front of you. Do you have a preparation model in place? Are you prepared for what's next? You see, if I ask the question, how many of you have looked at your spiritual planner lately? I'd probably be surprised what the reaction will be. How many of you are sitting here realizing that you need to devote more time to your spiritual being? That you need to make a few deposits into your own spiritual planner? I'll admit I do. Even though I'm in seminary, it's not concrete and it's not set for me. The first thing, as I said, you need to spend some more time with God. Because if you were to look back over this week, how much time did you actually spend talking to God? How much time did you spend listening to God? How much time did you spend on your knees, if you're able to get on your knees, or just with your head bowed? Were you even able to just sit still and to listen to what God was trying to say to you? If you compare, you have spent probably, what, more time watching TV? Or have you spent more time surfing the internet or on Facebook? How many of you use Facebook? A lot of you? Do you like pictures and stuff? Yeah, I see a lot of people around me. But I tell you that liking on Facebook can't get you access into that celebration. That liking on Facebook is not going to come touch you or talk to you while you're laying in the hospital or when you need someone to come talk to you. What are you doing to prepare yourself for that celebration? This is a heavy text today, but let me break it down just a little bit further for you. The wise and the foolish are just this. The wise, to me, were the true believers. The true believers that say, no matter how long before Jesus comes back, I'm ready, I'm willing to make a sacrifice. I know what I have, I know what you have given me. I'm willing to do whatever it is until you come back. But on the other side of the spectrum, the foolish are the ones that are here just for the party. Again, the foolish were there just to party. They want to get in based on association. So what that means is they looked the part. They had the vessel, which were the lamps. But guess what? They didn't have the light. So when it's tight, they don't have what they need in the time of trouble. Do you know anyone like that? Like they're losing their minds over whatever situation arises in their life? And I ask you, what gives you peace? What gives you hope and comfort that in the midst of a storm that you are able to stand strong? You see, I have said for a long time, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. That didn't happen just overnight. You see, because any relationship that you have got to spend time with that person. As I said, my spirit wrestled with this parable because these foolish were not allowed to get into the celebration. And as I went back, Moses, who was a favorite of many, do you remember that he too was denied entry? Because some of the choices that he made. Has anyone in here really been denied something because you were not ready? Yeah, some may have been denied a job or driver's license the first time around. But because those who held the fate in your hand, some of them actually gave you a second time to get it right, to go out and prepare yourself to come back. But think about this. On the day that Jesus comes back and you are there and he denies your entrance, how would you feel? You won't have a chance to get it right at that point. But we continuously treat our salvation like we do with many other things in our life. We just put it on the back burner, thinking, oh, I'll get to it. I know it's there. I know I have to do it. Because we think we know how it works. But Jesus completely says, no one knows the day. No one knows the hour. So what are you doing in preparation? We have got to stop thinking that we are in control of our own destiny. Because sometimes we actually take God for granted. If I can put it in plain terms, sometimes we view our salvation as a layaway plan. You see, you put it on hold, and you put a little something on it, because you're not fully ready to pay the full price for what you want. You know it's there, and you'll get to it when you are ready for it. You see, with the season of Advent fast approaching, we know that Advent means the coming of. It made me question, what am I personally doing to prepare myself? Will I be ready? If he were to come in here right now and tells all of us to line up, our hearts would say, oh, I want to be in that number. But would he look at you and say, I don't know you? You see, in Matthew, early chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, he speaks in that some will say, Lord, Lord, haven't I cast out demons in your name? Haven't I prophesied in your name? But he will say, I don't know you. So to my brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't matter how many times you've preached, if you aren't preaching with that spirit, that Holy Spirit. To all the deacons, it doesn't matter how many times you've deeked. If you aren't deacon with that Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how many times you've sung in that choir. If those songs you sing don't have the Holy Spirit behind you, it means nothing. It would be a shame to go through the motions, but at the time when it makes a difference, you can't gain entry to that big celebration. You see, as I close, I invite you to think about this. Remember I said that the bridesmaids represents the church? They were wise and they were foolish, and they all looked the same until that time came when they were to go meet the groom. So I suggest to y'all, don't get so comfortable judging others who are sitting in this church, or those who walk through the doors, or even the ones you pass through the grocery store, thinking that they may have it all together, they may not have it all together. Or that they better get it together because you think you have it all together. You don't know what's in the hearts of others. Again, it's a matter of the heart, and I will stick to that, because we as humans have been conditioned to look on the outside. Because of where we work, where we live, God doesn't care about that. God cares about the heart. I come to you this morning asking, what can you say that you have done or are truly doing to see that face of God? Have you made sure that your relationship with God is grounded and true? Have you said within the last 15 minutes that if he came back, I just know that I'd be granted into that celebration. Those doors would open and I would be allowed in. If not, guess what? You're in the right place. Because the purpose of the church is just that. You see, the question is, are you coming foolish or wise? We all come in here with hearts, but the question is, what are you putting into your lamp? Will you choose to be ready or will you not? Amen.